Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle Living Evidences of God. And in this series of studies, we want to make God live in our minds and our thoughts. The theme verse for this study is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here are the words of the Apostle Peter when he writes, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." The knowledge of him that has called us is the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be our theme verse during this series of studies. And during the series of the studies, we will consider the living God, the living Word, that is the Bible, the living Christ within us, the living Christ as our food, the living way, the living high priest, the living stone, and stones too, incidentally, a living sacrifice, a living faith, and a living hope. And these living things, many times the adjective living is connected with the noun that it's modifying. Now, not in every case, but in every case, the connection is made between those subjects and life itself. Now, God is a living God. I think of Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. He had been to Thessalonia for only 3 weeks in the synagogue there, preaching Christ. This was a pioneer effort. They had not heard about it before. It had not been preached. But the Jewish people in there had enough knowledge of Christ, even from Thessalonica, from that vantage point, even back to the Holy Land. They knew enough about it, they didn't want it. And they ran the Apostle Paul off the scene. Now, he was concerned about those people that did believe the gospel, the story of our Lord Jesus and his love, how that he went to the cross and died for our sins and rose again, proof that our sins were gone, and is coming back again to receive us to himself. They heard that story. And they believed it. And some of them were saved. Now, the Apostle Paul writes back to these Thessalonians, and listen to what he says, chapter 1, verse 9 of the first Thessalonian epistle. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." They turned to the dead gods to serve the living and true God. And now Paul says here, everywhere I go, I try to tell people what happened at Thessalonica. They already know. You notice, as we read, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and turned to God, from idols to serve the living and true God." And so he writes this to them as the living God, and they knew him. And that hope was living in their breasts. The Spirit of God gives witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, Romans chapter 8. Now, we're going to consider our study today, the living God, under three headings. The living God in contrast to idols of wood and stone, which we've already considered. And then we're going to consider the living God because all life originates in and from him. And then the third point that we're going to make, third part of our address will be the living God real and operating in our lives. We know he is living. We have the consciousness of the fact that he's living by the way he operates in our lives. Now let's get on to point two. He's a living God, as we have already considered, in contrast to the idols of wood and stone. Now, we also read, he's a living God because all life originates in him and from him. Listen, if you please, to John chapter 1 and verse 1. The apostle there is writing, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The word is capitalized here. He is the divine logos. He's talking about Christ in verse 12 of that chapter. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now we express our thoughts and the meaning of those thoughts. We express those by the words that we use. We express ourselves by words. God expresses himself by the word. Christ came down here and told out the glory of his Father. He did that because he was the divine logos. But listen, please, to the next two verses. We read in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made life. That was made, rather. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It was the intelligence of men. They knew it. We know that we've got life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is life himself. He's the originator of it. He is the living God, the living Lord Jesus. Now, we as parents, and I think maybe we should consider other verses in connection with the subject of the living God, and then reinforce it with our thoughts. All right. Now, in John chapter 14, in verse 6, we read there, Jesus saith unto him, that's to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the life. Now also, in 1 John, same writer, but in his epistle, chapter 5, listen to these words. John is so abrupt. He is so pragmatic. He just goes right to the point. Listen to what John says in 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now notice, please, it doesn't say he that has religion has life. He that has a church connection with a reputable church has life. He that has been baptized has life. He doesn't say that. He that hath the Son hath life. It's a matter of a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on this program, we tell people to the best of our ability, Christ loved you and he died for you and he is the only way to heaven. I am the way. Not a way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we must realize that. Now, how do you react to this? I react to it in this way. Well, he died for me. He's my Savior. He loved me. And I love him right back in return. And I make him my Savior. I'm relying on what he did for me on that cross. When he bore the judgment for my sins, died under their load, and then was raised from the dead by God. Now, is that going to be taken back? Do I have to take that back? Do I have to apologize for it? No, it's the Word of God. He loved me and died for me. My reaction is, this is mine. Christ is mine. I made him mine. And that's exactly what the Apostle John meant. Listen to these words. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Could words be plainer? All right, let's go on. Now, the spiritual life comes to us through the new birth. We have physical life. Our physical life came to us from our parents. But God gave the soul and the spirit of our physical bodies. Indeed, our parents did have something to do with our lives, but God gave the soul and the spirit. And we read in Ezekiel chapter 18, there where God says, all souls are mine, as the Father, so also is the Son. The Father didn't pass the Son down, or the life down, the soul down. All souls are mine. God gives the soul. He gives the spirit, because he's the author of life. Now, we get that spiritual life by the means of the Spirit of God. He brings Christ before us, and he shows us our sin. We've talked about this on the broadcast before. He shows us our sin, and when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God does something wonderful. He takes the life of Christ and puts that life within us, and we are born into the family of God. Now, we're not born in, we're not on the road to heaven when we're born into this world. We're in man's family. And man's family is sin. But we have to be born into God's family in order to get into heaven. And that happens when the Spirit of God makes it real to you and me. Now, briefly, let's consider the living God real and operative in our lives. How? In three ways. In answered prayer. In controlling our circumstances. In speaking to us from His Word. I think I should like to write a book sometime on answered prayer. Some of my own and some of others. We pray to God and He hears. He listens. Before we call, He answers. That's Isaiah 65. He has anticipated our needs. He is a living God. I've heard of missionaries out on the field. An emergency comes up. And they pray to God to meet the emergency, and He meets it. Now, we'll say the emergency is money. God may have exercised some soul 5 or 6 weeks before that, over in the United States of America. We'll say the mission field is Africa. And he indeed energizes that, exercises that person to send him that money. Now, we read in Isaiah 65 and verse 24, "And it shall come to pass before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." God planned it weeks in advance. Now, He has to be the living God for that to happen. And our prayers are the living proof of the fact that God is the living God. He hears our prayers and He answers them. So much could be said more on this point. He controls our circumstances. I tell you, if we realize how close we come to death, how close we come to accident, how close we come to tragedy, and we don't know anything about it if we're Christian people. And even if we're not Christians, He may be preserving our lives until we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. Now, in speaking to us from His Word, you know, we've had puzzles. Christian people, you will identify with me in this fact. Sometimes you've been in a quandary about things that you should do. Say an answer to your problem, and you go to the Word of God sometime and you say, "There it is. Here is my answer. God has spoken to you from His Word," and we're going to consider on the next broadcast the living Word, and it meets our need. Oh, yes, we have a living God. Our Father, today we pray that You'll make this series of studies on the living God a blessing to all who hear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.